Oh, it's good to see so many tonight. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord again, isn't it? Yeah, this just doesn't get old at all. This gets better and better. Subject you see on the screen tonight. And there's been several that's asked questions here already. Things that you've heard and different things that maybe somebody's told you about the subject about death. You know, I mean, hope beyond the grave. And there's a lot of thoughts about that subject. But we need to get it right into the Bible, and let God tell us what it's all about. You know, within the last, I guess, several days, Billy Graham passed away, didn't he? Is that thinking right? Maybe a week ago, and they just had his funeral. Was it yesterday or day before or whatever? And I noticed on the radio that it said his son, I guess, was helping to preach the funeral. I didn't hear it, but just the clip of the news. And he said, I know my dad's in heaven. My dad's in heaven looking down. So that was his thoughts. And I've talked to a lot of people who have said that too, that my loved ones have passed away. And I know that they are in heaven and they are looking down on us. And many of them even come down in the form of angels and they participate with us in our life. And could that really be so? You know, just in common sense. But majority, the millions and millions of people believe just that. So you have your Bible tonight. You want to take it out, I'm sure, and we'll be going to looking at this subject about death that I think is one of the... Of course, I say that every time. It's like every song I hear, it's my favorite at the moment. Every passage I read is my favorite at the moment. And so every subject is my favorite at the moment. They're all good. But hope beyond the grave. If there was no hope beyond the grave tonight, I'd be very disappointed, man. I'm telling you right now. I'd be very disappointed if there was nothing beyond this life, wouldn't you? I'm thankful that God promises something better beyond the grave. You know, as we look, I'm just going to put the passage up. He wants to put it up. I know I probably didn't have it on that. I'm good. I kind of like to fool you, and I can't do it. I've done my best. You've done an awful, awesome job. Thank you. In Genesis 3, verse 4. Genesis 3, verse 4. We're going to look at this closer as we go along, so just keep this in your mind as I know you've read it many times, but Genesis 3, verse 4, it said, the serpent, who's the serpent? That's the enemy, that's the devil, isn't it? The serpent said, you know, he'd be a lot better off if he'd just be quiet, but he's not going to be quiet. He's a talker, you know, he's a deceiver, isn't he? And so he's not going to keep his mouth shut. He's doing his very best because he's going around now, and the Bible said, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour you unless you let him do it. But he's seeking, he's looking. The serpent said, the devil said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, there already was a choice would have to be made because God already said, the day that you eat of the fruit, right? The day that you eat, you shall surely die. That is very clear. But now the serpent comes along and he says, oh, you're not going to die. Don't you worry about it. So there's a choice, the same kind of choices we have every day of our life. Something, right? God comes on, the Holy Spirit impresses you, this is the right way. The enemy comes on and he gives you another little thought. We have to be very careful. Hope beyond the grave. God warned our very first parents, didn't he, about, you know, disobedience would bring what? Disobedience would bring death. That's very, very clear. If we disobey, it's going to bring death. We realize that in this life we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are under the what? Death penalty. And if Jesus doesn't come, you know, soon, there'll be a few of us that will rest in the grave. We need to know about the grave. We need to know about death. Today we recognize the truth of God's Word because the mortality rate is what? 100%. Mortality rate is 100%, just like the Bible tells us. The world is confused about death. They're confused about what happens beyond the grave. And some ask, is there something beyond the grave? Some are never taught. They've never heard. Is there really something beyond the grave? Can the dead communicate with us? You know, it's not easy for us to say, well, no, it's not. But you know what? There are witnesses that say that, yeah, the dead do communicate. And they'd die probably on that. They did talk to me. They did appear to me. Well, what's the scoop? You know, what is it? When the Bible says one thing and people are saying something else, what do we do? The Bible gives us the answers we know. We're going to look at the nature of man. We're going to look at how God made him. Did God make man mortal or immortal? We'll know as we look at it here. Did he make him mortal or immortal? And where did immortality come from when there are many religions in the world that think that we possess something that's immortal? Where would that thought even come from? We'll discover that as we go along. We just talked about, we realize all of us are what? All of us are sinners. We'll be saved, by grace. Praise God for that. We look at the condition of man at death. This is just awesome when you think about it. The Bible is so clear to say, man has died, now here's his condition. Now we can either believe that or we can believe the enemy. It says, don't worry about it, you're not going to die. You may choose, but we need to choose what God has said. We'll look at when will the dead be raised? When will they be? Why will they be? And then again, is it possible for man to return after he dies? We look at the third part of our study is about the victory over death. A lot of things there. You know, what kind of bodies are we going to have? I start getting excited because we're thinking about, having a new body. Oh, so you're happy with yours. Well, bless you. I kind of like to have a new body. But look, even if you're feeling great right now and you're young or whatever, that's not going to last. You're a daydreamer if you think it's going to last. You think you're going to stay 20 years old all your life. You are a daydreamer. I like that. But we're going to get older and older, aren't we? And we have little problems and this and that, and it's just going to get worse. And Jesus doesn't come, we're going to pass away. So I'm looking forward to that new glorious body that will be like His. Yes. Like His. Yes. Not some little mess that we got going down here. And when are we going to receive that reward? Hopefully we can cover most of that tonight as we look at the pages of Scripture. What do people think in general that happens when you die? I looked up a few things. It's called a thought catalog in 2015. What do people think about death? One person said, or several people agreed with this. They said, I already know the answer. So, well, good, what is the answer? Well, I think you become another living organism. Now remember, that's like unmerciful to us. Maybe those who have studied the Word, but not to these other individuals because they don't know any better. They actually believe that after you die, you become some other kind of an organism. Maybe that's hope for them. I don't know. Hindus believe a person's spirit is permanent. Somebody think along with me now what we're talking about. Hinduism believes that the spirit is permanent. There's a lot of churches and professed Christians that believe the same thing, that the spirit, right, the soul, lives on and on. And we'll look at the difference between the spirit and so on as we go along. But I thought it was interesting. But the physical body, they say, is not permanent. It can change. And the spirit, they say, is reborn time and time again. That sounds a little bit confusing to me. I like things a little simple myself, like 1, 2, 3. This is the way that it is. Buddhists believe. Now, what I'm reading some of these is because I want you to see where many professed Christians are getting their beliefs. It's not from the Word of God. I'm not talking about the Buddhists. I'm not talking about the Hindus. I'm talking about other Christians of other faith. Because they do believe that the soul lives on after you die. Is that correct? Yes. Hindu said person's spirit is permanent. It just lives on. Scientists and some doctors who have, you know, really got into this subject pretty deep, they tell us, they say, well, people say that they've had near-death experiences. Have you heard that? Maybe you've met someone and talked to someone. It's a near-death experience, and so they'll call it a death experience. But notice, it's a near-death, and in that case, they never really ever died. They might have thought they did, a near-death experience. Huh. And they say while they're having these experiences, they have encountered their dead relatives. Wow. I'm just saying, is that possible when you die? I mean, if it is, I'll leave that one. I better leave that one. If it were possible, maybe death wouldn't be so bad, or some relatives I'd like to see again. But with the truth of God's Word, if they are faithful, we will get to see them again. In the right way, right? The Scripture's here. Others say, well, I don't know when you die, but I know this. I've talked to different ones and so on, and they have experienced. They say, well, when you die, you do meet other ones. You do meet a lot of other people that have died before. Others have told the story that, well, I died, I was dead for quite a few days, and I came back. Well, you know, God's capable of doing that too if He wants to. He did that with Lazarus, did He not? He was dead, okay. But they're saying something a little different than what the Bible says here. He said, well, I came back to life. Some say I died, and while I was dead, I saw a great big white bright light. This great big bright light. And it was warming, and it just kind of filled my heart with some joy, and it just kind of drew me into this thing. They probably forgot to say they was laying on the operating table. And see that. It's possible. As they're coming out. Sometimes you see and hear things you don't want to. I remember I had a hernia surgery. And I had to wait about 2 hours out in the foyer. You know, I got a little foyer out there before you go into surgery. For some reason, the other person ahead of me, they need a little more attention. And that's all right. I was waiting and waiting and twiddling my thumbs. And I kept saying like this, when are they going to come and give me something to make me feel good? Some of you are not getting it if you've never been there in my lands of love. You know, after a couple hours of waiting to go in and you haven't received a thing yet, you start getting just a little bit antsy. I think, well, maybe they give me just a little something. Well, I didn't get that something. So pretty soon the door burst open. A couple nurses came out and grabbed and pushed me in there, wheeled me right next to the operating table and looked at me. My eyes were like this. And they said, can you get over on the table by yourself? I said, well, yeah, I sure can. So I just get over on that little narrow table, you know, about to fall off. And I think, when are they going to give me something? Because I need to die. Are you still with me? The consciousness of what's going on. And they still didn't give me anything. I'm thinking, oh boy, it won't be long. Too many come around here. I'm going to say, hey, wait just a minute. But then the doctor comes in. And the nurses and anesthesia, everybody, they meet down at your feet. And the doctor comes in. He says, boy, come gather around. Okay, I see what we have today here on Shelton, whatever it is. We're going to do this. Well, we're going to cut him about like so, and we're going to put some gauze, and we're going to sew it up two or three things. We're going to take care of him. We're going to be... He looked at me, and I was going... He said, I don't think you really wanted to hear that, did you? I said, really, right now, it doesn't really matter. But you know what? I could use a little sleep. Okay. They said, the doctor looked and said, oh my, give him something. Stretch out your arms. You know some of you know. Stretch out your arm, put them on that little table. Give me a little count. Well, I made like two. And you know what? I kind of experienced death. I was not aware of anything that happened that transpired in no way, no form, no fashion until you come to. And then every time you'll say, is it over? It's interesting. It's interesting. Some say when I died, I felt there was no heaven. Just infinite darkness. blackness, but I knew I was dead. Well, what does the Bible say? That doesn't sound like a whole lot of hope to me, does it you? There was a lot of hope when I woke up and the nurse said, "You're finished. You're done." Oh, good. There was hope. Everything turned out all right. Yeah, it went well. Good. There's hope. We find today that history is repeating itself over and over. Many religious leaders are destroying faith in the Bible. They set their own opinions above a thus saith the Lord, above the Scripture. We need the convincing, convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we do not, the evil spirits are going to come. This is one of the things when we talk about this subject of what happens when you die. We have to recognize, number one, there are evil spirits in the world. Is that true, church? Yes. Not that you want to recognize. Some people don't want to talk about it, so they say, well, we don't ever talk about that. We don't ever give the devil any. No. You need to know the devil is well at this point. He's alive, and he's working to get you to fall. Yes. We need to realize there are evil spirits in the world. Transform themselves, as it were, into what? Angels of light or different people or so on and so forth. So we need to know this subject because your life will depend upon knowing this. Your life will depend upon this because majority of the world, it says, they will all be deceived by those miracles, spiritualism in these last days. Why? Because we're hearing flying saucers, unidentified objects flying around. People saying, oh, I knew it. Spirit world. We know there's other worlds, praise God, but you know the enemy is setting things up so that he can come as Christ and deceive the whole world. We need to realize what the Bible said. 1 Timothy 4:1, here's what the Bible said. Let's go through a bunch of passages, shall we? 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, it says, in the latter times, tell me when the latter time, what does that mean? Now, someone said now, right? At the end of time, in the latter times, so this was addressed to us today. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Don't give up your faith. Don't give up your hold on Christ, because what happens when you do that, then what? The enemy comes in. The demons of hell come in. You may not act up and act out, but he's got you. Think about it. One or the other spirit is in control at all times. So we need to make sure we're on the side of Christ, because these spirits, seducing spirits, seduce you into something maybe that you didn't really even believe in. Why? Because you gave up your faith. You started making excuses. You started doubting the Word of God. You begin to say, well, church is not important. I don't need to be reading the Bible every day. Be sure that the devil is going to come in. Be sure he's going to deceive you. Think about that one who's maybe was a Christian all their life and came to church, and all of a sudden they say, well, I don't know why I'm going to church. I don't need that anymore. The enemy has come in. He's got your mind. 2 Timothy 4:3, the Bible said, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So even though we read it tonight, there may be some, and there are millions in the world today, it says, I know what it says, but I don't believe it. It must mean something different because I had this experience. I can't believe it. I know what it says, but many people do that who have different experiences and so on and so forth, even in the gift of tongues and so on and so forth, as you well know. They say, well, experience something that you will never know, so... You know, unless you go through it, you won't know what I'm talking about. The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. You try to explain it to them what the real gift of tongues is about, and they say, no, 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 I know what it says, but. Let's not be that way tonight, okay? The only thing that's saying but is a goat. And goats are not going to make it to heaven because they go around but all the time. Some of you are not going to get that till in the morning. After you wake up, it's okay to do that because Jesus said the lamb follow me wherever, you know, the goat's always making excuses. Well, I would do it, but I'd show up at church, but what favorite TV maybe programs on or something, you know, Jesus said to this class of people who they said that they're seducing spirits, doctrine of devil, the devil's using them, the ones that we just talked about that will not endure sound doctrine, I can't think of more difficult words to receive than Matthew 7, 21 and 23. Bible says, not everyone that saith what? Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me skip down, verse 23. And Jesus said, bottom line, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What? I don't know you. Wow. Depart from you that work iniquity, you that work sin. So this must be talking about those who profess to be a Christian, wouldn't you say? Not everyone says, Lord, Lord. So usually it's a Christian that says, Lord, Lord. He said, because you say, Lord, Lord, because you go to church and pay your tithe, doesn't mean you're going to make it to heaven. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I can't think about more hurtful words it would be as he looks and says, depart from me. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on up. Wonderful words of life. But you realize tonight, probably, you know, more than this, I'm sure, 7-8 million, one survey said, Americans claim a near-death experience. 7-8 million. And when they have one of those, they broadcast it far and wide. They get on the Today Show, and they get on all these other syndicated shows, and all of a sudden they say, this is where I went, this is what happened. Not long ago, there was a 5-year-old boy? You remember that one? And boy, it just really persuasive, wasn't it? I mean, you think 5-year-old boys are going to be telling the truth now. He's telling just like he went through it. But you knew from Scripture it couldn't be, but boy, how convincing if you didn't know Scripture, and then come to find out a little bit later on, what did he say? He said, I lied. I didn't tell the truth. Very interesting when we look at this. They believe these near-death experiences. They said, I left my body. I felt myself leaving my body. I died. And then I came back. Is it possible for an individual to really just die, be pronounced dead, whether it's hours or days or whatever, and then able to come back to his house a little bit later on? What does the Bible say about that? Because people say they have. It's really happened. And it's hard to convince them because they experienced something supernatural. You remember talking about spirits of demons? They can do these things. If we accept these near-death experiences, are we really denying Scripture? We know the Bible has some clear answers. Job chapter 7, verse 9. You love old Job? Yeah, I love old Job. Man, he went through it. I think that's my middle name. How about you? Some of the things that went through. Job. But Job 7, verse 9 says this. And I can remember this quickly. I was studying with a man one time who really he'd never studied the Word of God. He really had never opened it. And he didn't know. And one of the passages we used was from the book of Job. And I said, you want to read this passage? He looked at it and he said, okay, the book of Job. And I said, yes, that's right. And we went on and read it. He didn't need to be corrected. He didn't know. But Job had a job, didn't he? Job 7, verse 9, it says, as a cloud vanishes and is gone, so he that goes down to the grave, does... Oh, come on, church, that's not good enough. It says he does not return, right? He will never come to his home again. Well, as a cloud, he's consumed and vanished away, so he goeth down to the grave and doesn't come up anymore. King James, he'll never come to his house again. So how is it that some people are saying, my dead husband or my dead wife appeared to me in the house? I'm sure they seen something. I'm sure they heard something. And it looked just like them. The voice was the same. The enemy studies you, you know. But that's not possible when you die. The Bible says here, you do not come back to your house. Much as you want to. See, the devil knows when you mourn and when you hurt. And you say, I miss my loved one. And, oh, I wish they were back. And, so on and so forth. You spend that time and he sees how you're acting and reacting. And if we're not careful, he can make that event happen. But we know from Scripture, he will never return to his house again. There's never a chance that he ever will, because the Bible is clear, regardless of what anyone says or say I've experienced. Isn't that what the Bible says? This is plain to me. The Bible said if you're dead, you're dead, and you'll never return. Job 16:22, next passage of Scripture says, he said, when a few years are come, I shall go the way, hence I shall not return. If anybody should come back, Brother Job ought to come back. I didn't see any sense in him dying anyway. He was a good man, wasn't he? But everyone, we're here, we sin, we should fall short, we're going to die. But notice how he knew that. How did Job know this? He's saying, in a few years, I'm going to die. When I go, I'm not going to return. So the dead then cannot return to the house as much as maybe some would want them to, because we miss them so badly and we want them around. When we go through death's door, you can't get back through. That's it. It's shut, it's barred, it's done for this life. Ecclesiastes 9:5 tells us this. You know this well, you've memorized it. The Bible said, for the living know that they shall die. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know everything. Nothing. Oh my, where's my glasses? Huh? No. You see, this is, could it be any clearer? The living know that they shall die. You know that time shall last. Jesus doesn't come. We're going to pass away. We're going to rest in the grave. But the dead know not anything. Not a morsel. Not just a little small IQ. They don't know anything. Neither have they any more a portion of anything done where? Under the sun. Their memory is what? My. It's forgotten. They don't have it anymore. Once you leave, they don't have a portion of anything they say is done, we say, under the sun there, or the memory of them is forgotten. Wow, what an awesome thought. That must be the truth. It's the Word of God. Hebrews 9:27 teaches this. We'll just read part of it. It said, and as it is appointed unto men once what? To die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed one time to die. After that is the judgment. Wow. We need to be ready, because we are now living, and we'll find out in a few nights that we are living in that judgment hour. It's closer than you think. It's closer maybe than I think. That judgment. How long will God let this miserable world go on with the sickness and the disease and the killings and the murders and the babies, things that are going on in the world? God sees everything. He knows everything in advance. It must tear his heart out. How he wants to come back. Church, let's get ready. Let's let Jesus live in our hearts where his character is fully reproduced in us. Then he will come. That's what he wants to do, is to come back and cut all of this mess short. But somehow we must not be ready. You say, oh, we're ready, we're ready. He's not here. There must be something. The Bible simply teaches we have one opportunity to accept or to reject God. And we need to make it good. Could it possibly be that maybe Satan is preparing to deceive people by teaching this untruth about what happens when you die? Do you think he has a plan? You know he learned it, because God has plans. So the enemy is a copycat, so he says, I need to make some plans. God's going to make good plans. The devil's going to make pathetic plans. But he's going to make some plans. We read that the Bible said these spirits of devils, spirit of demons, are going to try to influence the world. They're going to try to change your thinking on this subject. In fact, the book, I think, throw this one in, I think it's Revelation 18, verse 23. The Bible says, Revelation 18, 23, for, this would be the last line of that. That's a pretty long verse, so we can't read it all. It said, by thy sorceries were the nations deceived. Did you get that? By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. You see how important it is to know the truth on this issue? Because the majority of the world will be deceived on this subject. If you understand it well tonight, praise God, give Him glory. Because the majority of the world will not, they will say again, I seen it with my own eyes. And then they say that negates the Bible. It does not. We can't trust what we see with our own eyes, can we? We can't trust our ears. We think we see something sometime when it's not really what it is. And even if it is, if it's against Scripture, we have to let it go and say, no, that's the Bible has said. Oh, this is clear. And don't dilly-dally around with it. You dilly-dally around with the devil, I guarantee you he'll take you. That's all he did to Eve, I think, when she walked by that tree. He might have said, woo-wee, girl, you look good. I don't know that. Somebody's not with me. That's all it takes sometimes to get somebody, you know, off center. Are you still with me? He got her attention. And as soon as he got her attention, she paid the price. The world paid the price. Because you can't get in dialogue with him. You need the Spirit of the living God. Jesus didn't dilly-dally around with him. When he met the enemy, he said, get behind me. And I don't think the enemy stood there and said, I'm not going to. I think he quickly got behind him. Don't you? Who knew who he's messing with? We need to know that. Let's look at some of the what spiritualists teach. This is very because where we get some of these things. Spiritualists teach. You know what they teach? That the dead are not really dead. These are spirits of devil. These are spiritualists. Dilly-dally in spiritualism. They say the dead are not really dead. So how can we as Christians then accept that as a teaching when we say, oh, I kind of know where that comes from now. Because many will say, no, the soul never dies. There's something about us that's immortal. Interesting. The dead are not really dead. Remember Scripture, Revelation 16, 14. The Bible said, Revelation what? 16, verse 14. It says, for they are the spirits of devils doing what? Working miracles. That's all I need to read from that. They are the spirits of devils working miracles. The enemy can do that. It's not to give him praise. It's the reality of this thing. This is what he's doing. So don't be deceived by what he is doing, but concentrate on Scripture as Revelation 13, 13 and 14. And just do a couple lines of that too. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. It says, it talks about the enemy. He doeth great what? Wonders so that he maketh fire. Oh, wow. Come down from heaven. Notice this. In the earth, in the sight of men. And notice what happens. And he deceives what? Okay, bottom line here. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by those miracles that certainly that he's performing. So he deceives the earth, the world, by what? By the miracles that he can perform, and the devil can do that. And this is what he's setting up. He's setting it up so the world is deceived about this subject of what happens when you die. We have to know the solid truth of God's Word. Our friends need to know it. Our neighbors need to know it. They're going to be hoodwinked if they don't know this subject. There's a man named J. Arthur Hills. He has a book, and he calls it Spiritism Phenomena in History. So here's what he wrote. He looks at the characteristics of spiritualism. As we mentioned, spiritualism claims, we mentioned, that the dead, what? They're not dead. Spiritualism, they're not really dead. That's what he says. He writes, human beings survive bodily death. And then he goes on to say, listen to this, that occasionally, under conditions not yet fully understood, listen, church, we can communicate with those who have gone before. He says that despite the passage of Scripture, despite Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, it says, in the grave there is no work or device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Those who dabble with the demons of hell, spiritualism, writing their books, say, no, wait a minute here, no, that you really don't die. And there have been times that we have communicated with those who are dead. But the Bible says there's no work, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave. That means when the lights go out, the lights go out. That's what the Bible says. No matter what this man says, I'm going to believe the Bible. How about you? That's the first point. Second point he talks about, Spiritism claims that the dead can definitely communicate with the living. And many people like that. They say, man, this is good. One spiritualist, in fact, he lives in London, he made this statement. He said, there's no death in the graveyard. I have frequent talks with the dead. I cannot doubt that people live after death. So he says he wants to have a conversation. He goes out to the graveyard because they're all talking to him. The Bible just said differently. There's no device. There's no knowledge. There's nothing you can do in the grave. So who, may I say, who in the world is he talking to? Must be spirits of devils. That's what we read, isn't it? Working miracles. Because they want to get it out to people in positions just like this man that write books and get it out there where people say, I knew it, I knew it. Wow. It's clear as we read this, subject is vital. What really happens then at death? Well, naturally, we always say go back to the beginning. Let's do that quickly. Satan in the form of what? Of a serpent, you remember, came to Eve, Genesis 3, verse 4. And just simply that we read, you shall not surely die. Let's condense it down. You shall not what? Simply said, you shall not surely die. Had the conversation. God said, if you eat, in Genesis 2, 17, if you eat of the tree, you will die. It is a matter of being obedient. That's what it boils down to. There's only two powers in the world, isn't it? The enemy and God, as we look at. One said, no, if you eat, you'll die. The other said, no, you're not going to die. See, there's a choice. You have to make that choice. Satan's first lie then was where? The first lie was in the garden, and it was over the subject of what? The first lie told in the garden was the subject of death. And he's been lying ever since. Think about it. This is not just something like, oh, well, this is doesn't really matter. This matters. The enemy said to Eve, you are immortal because you won't die. Did you get it? You won't die. Another spiritualist wrote this, E.W. Sprague. He wrote this, listen, the dead, well, I can't hardly read it. I don't like it, but I'm going to read it anyway. Here's what he wrote, and there are many people who believe this. He said, the dead know more than the living. The dead do what? The dead know more than the living, he says. Huh. This where this really, is it all right if I say aggravating? This is where it can get kind of aggravating because he goes on. He doesn't just leave it there. He goes on and gets a little more blasphemous. Notice what he said. In this, as in many other Bible passages, the devil told the truth and the Lord is in error. That's what I'm talking about. That takes audacity. Surely he doesn't know any better. You know why? Maybe because he doesn't want to know any better. Anybody that wants to know what is truth, God will send somebody to you. This is what it takes. You have to say, I want to know the truth on what happens when you die. I want to know the truth about the seventh-day Sabbath. I want to know the truth about the sanctuary message. I want to know the truth about the judgment hour. I want to know the truth. Is it heaven? Is it rapture? Is it how's Jesus going to come? Hellfire burning. I want to know what truth is. And God will send somebody around the world if he has to make sure you get that truth. Amen. This is beautiful, but you have to want it. You have to want to know, but most people nowadays really don't want to know. They say they're busy. They just don't have time. Friend, you better. Hell's going to be a hot place. Think. Can you imagine that a human being says that the devil told the truth and the Lord is in error? The devil said the King of Kings is a liar. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, we know that it is the devil who changed the truth of God into a lie. Isn't that right? We know that. The enemy lied. You know why he lied? Because John 8:44 says he is a good, is a liar. There is no truth in him. Talking about Satan. When he speaketh a lie, who is he speaking about? He's speaking of his own because he is a liar and the father of it. Never believe the old devil when he comes at you. Never believe this man that wrote these things down. Why don't I believe him? Because the Bible says differently. I don't need anything else. I don't know about it. I'm simple-minded, so I don't need anything else. God has spoken in His Word. I don't need to debate it. God's way is always the best way, is it not? So what leaves the body then at death? We talk about the spirit. We talk about the soul, or what really leaves. Well, simply see how God created us. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of what? He formed man out of the dust of the ground," and then he did something. You know this. What did he do? He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was not a living soul until he had the spark of life, until God bent over, as it were, and breathed into his nostril. He made Adam. What a specimen of a man that must have been, certainly Eve too. But he was just, you say, just a body laid out there. Could we say that Adam was dead? God made him, as it were, there was no life in him. Beautiful, as it were, special. But there was no life in him until God breathed his breath, the spark. Can you imagine the Creator? It's really no different maybe from us today, right? We breathe the air of heaven. He gives us the spark of life. It's in him that we live and we move and what? And have our being. And everything is through him. So he's given us that spark of life himself. As we're looking at this, the Lord formed man. This is how we have to look. Because death is just the opposite of life. We have to look at the return of that, don't we? Did God then, let me ask you a question, did God put an immortal soul in Adam? An immortal soul? A non-dying soul? No, he did not. No, not at all. Let's put it together this way to help us. God formed Adam out of what? The dust of the earth. Good. God breathed into him breath of life, the power of life into him. Then he became a living soul. So let's look at it again. Dust plus spirit, right, of the living, equals a living soul or breath. Okay? We can look at it at maybe a different way. The elements of the earth, dust, plus the breath, spark of life, equals a living creature. Interesting. God formed him out of the dust. He breathed, and then he became a living soul. You see, the Bible uses soul in, you know, a couple of different ways, two ways. First, something that we are, a living soul, a living creature. Secondly, is something we have. A soul simply means we have life. You say, well, bless their soul. Well, they're alive because you've got body and I'm breathing, so I'm a soul. Does that make sense? Body, breath, equals soul. There was no soul. And if one is missing, you have to have body and breath or spark of life. Then you have a soul. So as we put that together, death, I said well ago, is like we talk creation in reverse. Ecclesiastes 12:7, quickly. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says it clearly. Then the dust shall what? Return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit of God will return. The God who gave it. I hear some people say, aha, I've got you now. They'll say, well, death, what happens to the spirit? They'll say, well, what? The soul, they say the soul returns back to God. But think about with me. When we die, the body goes back to the dust. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. I think that's pretty clear. Now, question, does the Bible say the soul goes back to God? Somebody say no. So when we die, the living soul just simply no longer exists because it takes body and breath and soul. Now think illustration with me. Okay, I have, you've heard it, I'm sure, before, I have some lumber, a couple of 2x4s or something over here. I'm going to make a box. I have some nails over here. Now, if I look at that, the 2x4s, and I look at the nails, do I call it a box? How come? Because it's not a box. But all I do is take those nails and I put it in that wood and there's a box. Ah, I've got the box. It took two things, right? You take it. Many homes we built over the years, we go out there to a spot, maybe there's just a foundation out there, but all kind of lumber was there ready to, you know, put in place. And never one time did anybody or did I ever go out there and say, "Woo, look at this beautiful home." It was just a bunch of lumber and some nails. That was it. And so then I would do what we would take the lumber and we would take the nails like we did the box, and you put a nail in that piece of lumber, that plywood, whatever it might be, and not long you have a house. Right? I don't go out there anymore and say, "Oh, that's a beautiful piece of lumber." I say, "That is a house." Now, what happens to the house if I reverse the process? If I go take the nails out again, and I put them over here, and the lumber goes back in the pile, do I call it a house? Somebody tell me where the house went. It simply ceases to exist. That's all. It simply ceases to exist. If I pick the nails up again, the wood again, put them back together, you can have a box, you can have a house, or whatever. Body, spirit, breath of life is a soul. What happens to the soul? It simply ceases to exist when the breath or spark of life is gone. It goes nowhere. Where does the light go when you turn the light switch off? Where does it go? Go anywhere. It ceases to exist because it takes a bulb and electricity. Boom, got light. That's talking about death. Many people are confused about spirit and soul. We'll talk maybe a little more about that. Because you look at the spirit and the soul, remember, spirit and soul are what? Would you say the same thing? What does the Bible say? Job 27 verse 3 says, "All the while the breath is where? All the while the breath is in me and the spirit of God is in my nostrils." And what? The breath in me and the spirit of God in my nostrils. Did you notice that being repeated? Why did he repeat it? All the while my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Think about it. Breath and Spirit. He's repeating it. Why would he repeat it? You think when things are repeated by Bible writers that it's very important? Hebrew writers often repeated these things so that we would get it. He repeats this phrase that helps us to explain it better to us. So when a person dies, then the body goes to the earth. It goes to the grave. The spirit or the breath does what? Or the power of life goes back to God who gave it. Notice with me Psalms 146, 3 and 4. Psalms 146, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of men, in whom there is no help." We'll skip a little bit here. Notice, it said, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts do what? His thoughts perish." No thoughts beyond that when you die. It's what the Bible said. So is the spirit and the breath something conscious? No. The Bible says his thoughts perish in that day. Bible does not teach that we have an immortal soul at all, which lives long after we die. 53 times
in the Bible, death is referred to as a sleep. Don't you like that, church? Tell me how much the living or the dead know. Tell me how much the dead know. Ecclesiastes 9:5, we read it a while ago. For the living know what? That they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Can the dead communicate with us, church, tonight? Come on, we're wrapping it up, can we? Can the dead communicate with us? Absolutely not, but millions say that they can. Can Satan impersonate dead loved ones? Yes, he can. Now we see why the devil wants the church. He wants us to misunderstand this subject so he may deceive the people. If you die and then there's something that lives on and you go right on into heaven, would you or would you not be praising the Lord if you got there? Would you? What does the Bible say about the dead? Psalms 115:17, the Bible said, the dead praise not what? The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that goes down into silence. The dead don't what? They don't praise the Lord. If you died and you went to heaven, surely you'd be praising the Lord, wouldn't you? You'd be shouting and running down those streets of gold, saying, where's my house? Oh, some of you. It'd be a wonderful time. We'd get to see Jesus, wouldn't it? Surely we would be happy. Surely, but the Bible said when we die, there comes a time, but right at death, we're talking about death as a sleep, we're going to evidently wait in the grave is what we're finding out here. Some teach as soon as you die, you go to heaven. But notice in Psalm 6, verse 5, the Bible says again, For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who will give you thanks? When you die, you don't remember God. Did you get it? In the grave, there is no remembrance. Surely it'd be if you died, as it were, right? Surely go to heaven, there's going to be some remembrance. You're going to think about it. Who's going to give you thanks? Certainly we'd be praising the Lord, it seems to me, as we read Scripture here, if we went to heaven. Dead will not give thanks. Do we have tonight, let's ask a couple quick questions before we close, do we have an immortal soul? No. So where do people come up with this kind of stuff? You know, because Ezekiel 18 verse 4 tells you quickly. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, they say, well, soul lives on. Soul never dies. There are songs written about all of this stuff. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to pay attention to Scripture. My Bible says there's only one that has immortality, and that is whom? That is God only has immortality. 1 Timothy 1:17. In the Bible, it's clear that human beings are mortal, subject to death. Job 4:17 says, shall mortal man be more just than his maker? What did Job call him? A mortal man. We don't have to look up all the others. Romans 6, verse 12, it talks about mortal bodies. Romans 8, verse 11, mortal bodies. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11, mortal flesh. It's proven that man is mortal. He's subject to death. He has nothing that lives on after he dies. But you know the good news. When do we receive immortality? See, that's the good news. Did you notice hope beyond the grave? Instead of saying there's nothing there, you just die, that's it, you don't have remember. There's a day coming. There's a day. And I'm thankful for that day. 1 Corinthians, you know it well, 15 verses 53 through 54. It just says, behold, I show you what? Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. It may be a little different on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Where? How long is it going to take to be changed? This is at the coming of Jesus. This is where we put on immortality, is when Jesus comes, when that trump sounds. Did you get it? So when this corruptible shall put on what? Incorruption. Huh. This mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the same. You know, death swallowed up in victory. How wonderful that is that we can know that. Satanism is pushing this belief of this pagan doctrine of immortality of the soul. Let me tell you before we close where it came from, where this belief came from. It is a pagan doctrine, there's no doubt about it. It came from Babylon. Babylon taught that. It came from the Egyptians. It came from pagan Rome. It came from Oriental religions, from pantheism, from reincarnation, from Plato, even in the 4th century B.C. was teaching this, and a couple of Catholic priests that did it, Jerome and Augustine. At a certain time, they were bringing this out because people were coming on to the truth. This is where the teaching come from, that the soul never dies. That when you die, something lives on. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The day will come. Jesus is going to come. He called about asleep. We won't go through. We know the story of Lazarus well, do we not? Yeah. Mary knew it. She said, I know he's going to come forth, but when? In the last day, right? Those who have been faithful will come up in that first resurrection. They'll be able to see Jesus face to face. Jesus said to Lazarus, in John, I think it's 11:43, Lazarus, come forth. Been dead 4 days, still on time. But interesting, he dead 4 days and his body stinketh, but he never mentioned one thing about heaven. He never mentioned about anything because he didn't know anything because he was asleep in Jesus. He had to be asleep in Jesus or he couldn't have resurrected him back to life. Only to die again and have another future resurrection. We have something hope. We have something to look forward to. And the people will say, well, what about the thief on the cross? You remember that? What about the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23? The thief looked over and he said, Lord, remember me when you come. I think I'd like to say that to him tonight. Lord, remember me when you come. Please don't forget me. He's not going to forget you. You don't forget him. Lord, remember me when you come in the clouds. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. How many people misunderstand something so simple? The proper meaning all depends on what? On where you put the comma. Remember, there was no punctuation until, what, 12th, 13th, 14th century. And then the Roman church did that. And they had the tendency to put, you know, commas and different things into what they believed at that point in time. That's why you still have to check. Notice something with me. Surely, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. If it's correct, it would mean that Jesus and the thief went to heaven that day, wouldn't it? But no, as we look at the option number two, if you want to look at options, Jesus said to him, surely I say to you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. Huh. Jesus wouldn't tell this man, would he, the thief, something that contradicts the Bible, would he? Not at all. Jesus didn't mean that he would be with him in heaven that day because Jesus didn't go there that day. Amen. Did he? He did not go there that day. So why would he say? So it has to be a matter of incorrect punctuation in that. We have to look closely at Scripture. The thief didn't die on Friday, did he? You know, they love to crucify people, but you know what? They didn't want to leave them hanging up on the cross during the Sabbath hours. So when they went to them and they were still alive, they took them off the cross and they broke their legs so they couldn't get away. How horrible. But when they went to Jesus, he is already dead because the Bible predicted not one bone of his would be broken. Whoo, prophecy. Jesus didn't go. Mary comes to the tomb quickly. John 20, verse 17. And that's on Sunday, isn't it? Resurrection morning. Jesus said, Revelation 1:18, I am the resurrection and the life. Where do we go when we die? Jesus told Mary on Sunday morning, he said, touch me not. Come on, church. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Isn't that beautiful truth of God's Word? You can't miss it. Jesus, if anyone make it to heaven, sure, it's Jesus, isn't it? Absolutely, without sin. But he died, he was in the grave. And he rose up. And then some of the, you know, very different ones came and they wanted to tell. He said, don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended unto the Father. He didn't go to heaven when he died immediately. That ought to tell us a little something, shouldn't it? I think it should. We sleep in the grave. Let's wrap it up. We sleep till Jesus comes. I hear people whisper every once in a while when we have a a funeral, you know, and maybe they've been to two or three of them that we do, and they'll say, oh, here goes the grave sleeper again. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said they're going to sleep. It's like a restful, peaceful sleep that you are not aware of anything. When you close your eyes in death, it's just a matter of a split second, whether it's 1,000 or 2,000 years you've been dead. Boom. Next thing you know, it's going to be one resurrection or the other. So it's almost, I wonder if I should throw this out. You know what you've already thought. It's almost like immediately you go to your reward for what you're conscious of. Did you get it? You don't. You may be in the grave and you're asleep, dead for 2,000 years. But remember, there's no time in the grave. There's nothing that you are aware of, and it's just like in surgery. You close your eyes, you're aware of nothing that are going on. And as soon as you open your eyes, it's just like that. Split second. And we'll be able to see Jesus. One resurrection or the other. We wait in the grave till Jesus calls us to the resurrection of eternal life. I'm determined by the grace of God to come up if I have to pass away in that first resurrection. Amen. If you come up in that second, you're a lost cause. Wow. It's all she wrote. You don't want that. But you have to decide, just like these truths that you hear from night to night, that this is what the Bible teaches. And you're going to be willing to follow those. Because this is part of the test that God gives to His people here in the last days. Eternal life means spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Being reunited with family and friends again that we long to. There's hope beyond the grave. He gives us hope. Tonight I just want us to think for just a moment here that did we really get it tonight? I'm sure most of you studied it many times. You know it better than I do, but there's some sometimes that still have questions. We want to make sure we answer those, and we'll spend time afterward with you if you have any questions about that, because this is a life and death situation here, a truth that we need to know. What happens when you die? Is there hope beyond the grave?